This is one thing I say you must understand. Jah gave the herbs for the use of man, woman and children plus the animal. If anything, the temple gave me inspiration. Herb, it's a healing of the nation. And me say herb, it's a healing of the nation.
Welcome to the Herbal Intellect Show. It is Saturday, February 6, 2016. Welcome, everyone. Welcome back, I should say, to the Herbal Intellect Show. And we are having an awesome start to our new season of this Herbal Intellect Show. We came in with a wonderful energy. Everything was working properly. And then a few technical difficulties occurred. So we're running a little bit behind, but we're going to continue to do better and always have that energy flowing through the rest of our shows coming up. I'm so excited to be back doing shows. We took a little hiatus there for a little bit, but I am back. So if you are new, a new listener to the Herbal Intellect Show, I am your host, Jennifer Hutchison. I am a certified clinical master herbalist, a doula, and the director of the Black Community Healers Guild. And this show has been something that's been going on for a while now. We started back in 2014. I'll give you a little bit of history. We started back in 2014 or so doing shows in Riverside, California. And, you know, we grew from there actually into a nicer studio where we had a lot of different shows going on. I'm talking about Nubihood Radio in general. And then we moved all the way across the country to Charlotte, North Carolina. And so now we have a studio here and we're broadcasting live. We're broadcasting live from our new studio in Charlotte. And we have definitely grown so much. And it's been a truly amazing journey. We've had different guests on our show, lots of different guests, all from different backgrounds, all over the world, really. We've had, I want to give reverence and respect to our ancestor, Ms. Nkata Lewis, who was on our show, and she shared some wonderful jewels with us. We have those archive shows at newbeinghoodradio.com, but we have many, many guests on, and we're going to have many more guests on, especially for this season. We've talked about a multitude of different health topics, from diabetes, we talked about herbs for first aid, we talked about Ayurveda and Ayurvedic medicine, all types of things. And as we change topics, that's when we change seasons. So no, we haven't been on the air for 7 years, but this is the seventh season because I just flow with energy. And so if something changes within our, within our theme, I change up the season. And we have changed about 7 times. We've grown, 7 degrees, and we are at this level now, and we're doing something different. And I'm going to talk about that in just 1 second. And the Herbal Intellect Show is back, like I said. So for the next 8 weeks or so, we have a really nice collection of health and wellness experts. The experts are going to be coming on, and they're going to be joining us and sharing information with us. I'm going to be interviewing them, and of course, we have to kick off our season 7 with an awesome, wonderful brother, Dr. Turtle, is going to come on and speak with us about indigenous remedies. Okay, so we're kicking that off. We have our special guest this evening, and I'll be interviewing him tonight, and then we have a whole host of people that I'm going to be interviewing over the next few weeks. If you want to know or see that full lineup, go to newbeinghoodradio.com, and when you click on enter the site, you'll see that right when you log on, there's a calendar there for you to look at all the different shows that span about to April. Every third Saturday of every month, I'll be doing an open show, basically an Ask an Herbalist show. So you can send in your questions to me at herbal@newbeinghoodradio.com, or you can, you know, just come on and listen and see what people are talking about and asking, and ask your questions too. I'm sure you have some burning questions about health and wellness, and we can pull from the archive and talk about things. You can bring back up some old topics that are really interesting if we want to, a coffee show, Ayurveda, any of those types of things. So it's going to be an open day on the third Saturday of every month for that Ask an Herbalist. And I want to quickly invite you, and we're going to get into our show this evening. I'm going to quickly invite you to, for everyone to listen, everyone that's listening, to check out blackhealersguild.com, blackhealersguild.com. And a guild is basically a group of individuals who come together with a common trade. And our common trade at the Black Healers Guild is natural medicine and natural healing. And so I would love for you to consider joining us or joining the guild. As a member, there are so many wonderful benefits for joining. We have put together wonderful packages that that have different benefits in them. And we're also doing some fundraising or really some outreach projects. We are collecting holistic care packages, actually, for the families of Flint, Michigan, and of St. Joseph, Louisiana, who have been devastated by the water poisoning, the lead poisoning in their water. And so we're setting up there some holistic health packages, so herbal remedies, as well as some nutritional information for them to be healed more naturally. And so we've are starting to sponsor families for that. So check it out. We have a lot of things to offer. We have a nice group that's been working really hard at the Black Healers Guild. So go to our website and consider joining. All right. And of course, for Newbiehood Radio, as usual, we have our show on Thursday night, the Prophet of Thought series. It comes on Thursdays at 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Check them out. They always have some awesome, very deep topics on there. Like last week, it was about interracial marriage. So, you know, it goes deep. You can get on there and chat and with people. Yes. And get some good information and start a conversation and maybe, you know, change your mind about some different topics and things you never thought about. If you're interested in chiming in this evening with our call, with our interview with our special guest, Dr. Turtle, you can call in at 712-775-7031. Then the access code is 840-981. 840-981. And you can also listen with that number. Okay. So if you aren't by a computer right away, you haven't downloaded our app. Okay. You can just call in with that number and listen. So 712-775-7031, access code 840-981. And of course, as usual, you can go on to our chat room if you're sitting at home and put in your questions there, type them in and communicate with us. And we will get to all those questions by the end of the show. All right, let's get right into this. I want to give a special thanks and a special welcome to our first guest for this season. And I'm very excited and very happy to have you kick off our season with some really good information, Dr. Turtle. I'm going to read your bio here. Okay. Dr. Turtle is the co-owner of Indigenous Remedies. He is also a master herbalist, gardener, and energy healer. His education to the plant kingdom came at an early age from both his maternal and paternal grandfathers. It was at this time that he found a deep connection to Mother Nature and her inhabitants. Dr. Turtle has certified in numerous students in herbal therapy. He has taught children's camps and has spoken tirelessly, spreading the importance of health and herbal therapy. Through his herbal consultations, Dr. Turtle has assisted in helping clients restore their health with such concerns as cancer, diabetes, and hormonal imbalance. Dr. Turtle is committed to teaching individuals how to take health and healing into their own hands. And that is awesome. And I'm so glad that he accepted our invitation to be on the show, because we need to communicate and talk and bring this information to people, you know, especially getting it from someone who has been doing it for a lifetime, basically. And so we really definitely are excited to have you join us, Dr. Turtle.
How are you? Thank you for having me on.
Yes, of course. Of course. So let's... Yes, we can hear you. Can you hear me okay?
Okay, I just hear that one thing, right? You'll work through it.
Give us 1 second.
Thank you for asking.
I think we can hear you okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
There you go.
Right, we're good. All right. Well, thank you again. So let's start out and tell us a little bit about, you know, our show today. Our show topic is about Indigenous remedies, which is also the name of your company, your business, and your herbal certification business, which I hope you don't mind me taking that and using that as part of the show title. But I think that that really does explain, you know, or help us to understand what we're going to be talking about, which is going back to our roots, understanding, you know, what formulas and what types of herbs are there to help us, you know, things that come from maybe our backyard, but things also that is just like our innate ability to heal. Okay. Give us 1 second, Dr. Turtle. We have a issue with our computer here.
Natural herbalists, you know, once they leave our courses, you know, they automatically have a sense of going back to their roots, going back to their culture, going back to their traditions. And that's basically what we teach in our certification courses, is always to remember our elders, always to remember our ancestors, and always remember the importance of knowing the power of the plant medicines, and also to be able to identify these certain medicines that are around you. And with that extra knowledge, it helps our students to become more dependent on themselves instead of dependent on the pharmacopoeias that's around us, you know, which is actually helping to cause the illnesses that we actually go through in life.
Exactly. So you go from, you know, a lot of different schools that teach health and wellness, even if it's supposedly a natural health or natural wellness school, you make sure that the students know about where these diseases come from, the original problem comes from, versus just how to treat it with natural ways. So you go a little bit deeper.
Indeed, and our approach again on the way we do that, you know, we teach our students to become more dependent on themselves. Again, going back to the pharmacopoeias. And, you know, in our modern day society, the way that we live today on the concrete, in the concrete jungle, you know, we tend to always try to reach out to others. You know, we depend on others as far as our health, you know, the state of our health. And so with our students going through our course, we try to bring it back to the essence of filling thyself first.
Yes.
You know, and that was always the approach from our elders and our ancestors. I mean, for thousands of years, you know, that was always our approach. You know, there was nothing that we could come into contact with without being able to heal it, you know, ourselves.
Now, our medicinal plants that actually grew in the same areas, you know, to where we reside. So we always bring back that essence. The introductory course, the first class, you know, we start off going over remembering, trying to help our students to remember, you know, some of the things that they grew up around as far as, like, you know, old remedies that their mothers may have had, you know, while they were growing up, or some of the old sayings or rituals that their grandmothers or grandfathers, you know, they watched them do as they were growing up to becoming an adult. And so with us taking them back, you know, to their past and recognizing their elders and their ancestors and the powers that they had, it kind of brings back that remembrance for that student to where, as they continue our education, you know, they already have that type of insight of, you know, where they'll be headed in the future. So we send them, we take them back in order for them to strive and to be more independent for themselves in the future.
And
once you leave, you know, one of our mottos is, you know, every household should have a healer. You know, and if it gets too bad, too extreme, then you would go into other and take other measurements.
Right.
You know, maybe you may have to go and see a physician if you can't mend a broken bone or, you know, something that was just out of hand to where you can't really handle it yourself. But my elders always told me, you know, you heal yourself first, but if it's too out of hand, then you go and seek help.
Right.
And, you know, and that's what we try to do with Indigenous Remedies. We just try to bring it back to the essence. of our past.
That brings up kind of two ideas for me. I love the fact that you said, think about what your parents and grandparents used to say, like sayings that they had. A lot of times that those things, I can't think of any good example off the top of my head, maybe you can, but just the things that they would say sometimes would come from, you know, the fact that they were using something that is, you know, that ran through the family or a remedy that ran through the family, where they might not even know where the saying came from, but their original source from that was because they used something from the earth or, you know, some type of healing, you know, that idea came from somewhere. And so kind of think about what your family used to say and how your grandma used to talk. And, you know, when something, somebody got hurt, what did she say? You know, what kind of, you know, the things that she would talk about. And when it came to that.
Exactly. And if you're fortunate enough to where your grandparents or your elders are still alive, mm-hmm. you know, it's never too late to sit around them and just pick their brains a little mm-hmm. because, I mean, that is a treasure right there. And we just let it deteriorate in front of our faces without any question,
right.
you know. And like I was saying earlier, you know, us being so dependent on the pharmacopoeia is the reason for our sicknesses and our illnesses,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of us being so frustrated of being let down from depending on others, you know, mentally, physically, emotionally, it brings on a bunch of stress, you know, it brings on a bunch of disorder, you know, in your life to where it can cause other ailments in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So with you having the knowledge and the power and the confidence to be able to, like, be able to heal yourself by just being able to go outside and just pull up something that Mother Nature
mm-hmm.
Has been providing for us for many hundreds and thousands of years,
right.
you know? And so that's one of our main approaches as far as, like, going through our certification courses.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that we approach that is we also teach a method that's called the Doctrine of Signature,
okay.
right? And we go over it, the Doctrine of Signature, as far as, like, it's the approach to where, you know, you could be able to identify a plant
mm-hmm.
by its structure, by the color of the flowers, by the structure of the stem, to be able to determine what that plant may be possibly good for, as
mm-hmm.
far as, like, comparing it to the anatomy of the human body. And so that concept comes in handy, you know, in times of need,
mm-hmm.
because every single plant that's around you, you know, is always going to be able to tell you what it's good for at that time of need. And you're always going to see the right plant at the right time. You know, if you're dealing with something, you know, it's a mental connection that we have with these plants. You know, we have auras.
Yes.
The plants have auras. You know, they have electrical fields,
right.
same as we do.
Mm-hmm.
So in that time of need, you know, using that method, you know, those plants actually draw you,
mm-hmm.
you know, to that medicine, and
mm-hmm.
they provide it for you. So
right.
we teach that concept in all of our courses to where, you know, after they go through that study of the Doctrine of Signatures, you know, they leave us more confident as far as, like, them being able to go out and forage and try to find their own medicines. And
mm-hmm.
also if they can grow them, you know, or just always have, you know, their foods and medicines available for them at all times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's one of the concepts that we teach also is the Doctrine of Signatures.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's been working out pretty good for some of the students that were able to complete our course.
I'm sure.
I'm
sure
it has,
because I'm sure you can't get that anywhere else. Definitely. That's some really wonderful knowledge that you're, you know, imparting on them. And when you talk about essence and you talk about energy, and you're talking about, you know, the aura of plants and the aura of yourself and any living thing. I'm taking a Reiki certification course now. They talk a lot about that. Like, you know, some people think that Reiki is, you know, kind of a hoax. It's not real. But when you explain it or talk about it in the way that, okay, if I fall and break or fall and scrape my knee, the first thing I do is I'm going to grab my knee, right, and hold it. And that idea of touch, you know, and that idea of, okay, I want this to heal, and you have the intention, you know, in your mind and in your spirit that I want to heal this part of my body, and by touching this, is I'm providing love, and I'm providing support, and I'm providing healing through my own touch, is the essence of Reiki, and that's the essence of, you know, healing thyself, and using your own innate ability to heal. And so that all kind of ties in with what you were saying too about how, you know, the plants have their energy and they draw you in because of, you know, a connection that we have with all living things. And that's really a powerful thing to teach, you know, and also to know about and be able to utilize whenever you are healing yourself or dealing with others that are needing that. So.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Great. Wonderful. Well, that's a nice introduction. I'm glad you were able to speak on your school, and I hope people are interested in possibly, you know, coming to your school and getting some of that wonderful knowledge. So if you're interested, listeners, go to IR Herbs and IRHerbs.com and get some more information. Check them out on Facebook as well if you're interested in the certification course for herbalism. So what about, you know, for me, I kind of like to think of how I can better help, as an herbalist myself, how I can better assist people and how I can better help them. And I always think about the state of our people and in what areas do they need the most help. And I know that's a big feat to take on as one person, but, you know, in your opinion, oh, can you hear me?
In ourselves, and I think that that'll make us a greater people, a better people. Bring us back to where we work for.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you think it's a lack of knowledge, or more so just a lack of taking that knowledge and actually applying it and have the initiation type thing? That's kind of what I've seen. Especially, I'm working with children now, and I go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Well, I wouldn't say a lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. What I would say is a lack of right knowledge.
Okay.
And that's the difference. You know, most of us, you know, we tend to be researchers and, you know, we study whatever we can get our hands on, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right knowledge. And for me and for my calling, mm-hmm. being Dr. Turtle, which is a teacher of nature, is what that name means.
Oh, okay.
I feel like our calling is going back to the essence of Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's our calling. We were better people. We lived better. We were healthier. We lived longer. When our feet were rooted in the ground.
Yes.
You know, when we were able to go out and feel the breeze, feel the wind, you know, go and hug the trees, be around each one of these different plants,
mm-hmm.
listening to the birds sing, you know, learning the animal spirits, you know, being in that whole essence, you know, of our spiritual essence, but that's what we are. We're spiritual people.
Right.
You know, and being in modern society, it's kind of like keeping a hummingbird in a cage. You know, a hummingbird is not going to survive that long being in the cage. You know, it has to be free.
Mm-hmm.
And so with us being that hummingbird in cage in modern society, it's kind of depleting our superiority as a people. And so with us going back to the essence of nature, you know, I think that that would make us a stronger and more superior people and bring us back to where we need to be.
Mm, yes, Ashe, I believe that too. And I'm going to give a quick shout out to Miss Lenita Nash, who was the last person that I interviewed for the last show we had, and we were talking about that kind of the same thing when it comes to children and how you have to teach them they have to go outside and play and not be just stuck at home in the house playing video games and not touching the earth, not touching the soil. There's so much to learn. It's so much to experience, but also it's healing within itself. The earth is going to help you boost your immune system, you know, the soil, playing, getting dirty. You know, all of that is definitely going to you know, open the eyes of a child. So you definitely have to start there, you know, with children and I know you've worked with children as well, and so have you seen that by, you know, comparison, children who haven't been able to get outside and go to your camps and experience nature and, you know, forest and everything versus some other children? I know it's kind of a silly question, but, you know, talk about your experiences with children a little bit and how that kind of changes them, makes them more more open.
Well, my experience with working with the children, which I love the children,
mm-hmm.
because I would rather have those, nothing against us adults.
Yeah.
I would rather have the children more. I would have more student children than I would have student adults.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, that's what's going to keep everything that we're speaking of on this radio show right now, that's what's going to keep it alive in the future. The knowledge that we're passing along to each other right now.
Right.
So for all of those that are listening to this radio show, please take time out and try to teach your children sacred knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we cannot let that die. You know, and that's my purpose, is to get on and try to teach sacred knowledge to all of our children, adults, whatever we need.
Right.
And from what I've noticed about some of the children that was already familiar with being in tune with Mother Nature, is they were a lot happier. They're slimmer, mm-hmm. and they were a little more active compared to the ones that's not so in tune with being outdoors. You can see that these days our children are a lot more obese.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have more asthma problems. You know, they're bipolar, having ADHD issues.
Right.
But it's not only not being out in nature, which is a big part of it, but it's the foods that we bring in our house that
yes.
we claim come from nature.
Yes.
Which is not, you know, totally factual, but all of that, you know, especially eating all the processed foods that we give our children, because we don't really have time,
mm-hmm.
because living in modern society, you know, we're always on the go, we gotta go to work, you know, we gotta go pick somebody up. So instead, we'd give them a processed snack that they would have to open up that artificially tastes like an apple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of like actually going out and harvesting and growing your own apples, or actually giving them a apple.
Right.
So that would be the difference. You know, eating the processed foods, you know, sitting around in the house all day, breathing artificial air,
mm-hmm.
you know, all those different microbes and bacteria that they're always around, you know, it brings on those diseases.
Yeah.
And when you go outside, you know, it works as a filtration system for those children.
Right.
You know, they can go outside, they can get exercise, they can, you know, their cells and their molecules can regenerate themselves, because being out in the sun, filling that air, and even listening to the songs of the birds,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff has healing powers to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we disconnect ourselves from that, you know, it brings on certain illnesses, because originally, that's where we are supposed to be. You know, we're not supposed to be actually cramped up in households all day,
mm-hmm.
and eating processed snacks, when we should really be out, you know, feeling nature.
Yes.
And that's also something that I bring up to my students. You know, I also mention to them, you know, the levels of consciousness that our people also take themselves through. And if you think about it, it's always, everything works in three, okay? And I always say that.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So when a person is coming out of, I guess we could say, the old slave mentality,
mm-hmm.
you know, we feel like we can go into a higher form of consciousness, you know, the first thing that we do to claim that we're more conscious is, in a lack of words, we go natural,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the way that we go natural is we cut our perms out. We grow
right.
locks. We just grow an afro and an afro, you know. And then once we feel like we went natural enough by changing our hairstyle and changing our clothes, then we feel like we're at a level of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the level two. And once you're at the level of consciousness, you reach the level of spirituality, which is the esoterical aspect of your mind state. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But where we slipped up at in those three is the very beginning, when we was talking about going natural. We just went natural the wrong way. The way that we go natural is actually going back to the essence of Mother Nature,
yeah.
being outside again. And
right.
I might say this about 20 times before the show is over with,
mm-hmm.
but we have to get back in tune with Mother Nature. You know, that's how we go natural first. And once you get in tune with Mother Nature and you hear the sounds, you know, you feel the breezes again, you know, it brings on a level of consciousness without us even trying. You know,
mm-hmm.
most of the time when we reach that level of consciousness, we're just trying because it's something that we've heard of, or we, you know,
mm-hmm.
we want to try, but we've never experienced. So with us, before we even reach that level of consciousness, we got to get back into the woods. We got to get past those fears of what might be in the woods to harm us.
Yeah.
Because once you go into, you know, and we should realize, you know, if you're going to the woods, or if you're going out into nature with a positive mind state, whatever's around you in nature, it feels that energy.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it brings no harm to you.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
And so once we realize that, we recognize that, they will open up that essence to where it will allow us to go into a different level of consciousness.
Yes.
Instead of the one that we just read about in a book.
Right.
You know, and it's different from reading a book and actually going outside and experiencing it.
That's so
and
true.
And so once we start out with the natural way of going outside and dealing with Mother Nature and loving her essence, instead of just, you know, kind of natural to me.
I know.
I think that our approach of going natural is totally different than how we should originally go natural before we enter to the level of consciousness. So that
right.
we can become more spiritual people like we used to be.
I know, and it's just so mind-blowing to me that people think that just cutting off your hair and growing natural hair is enough to say that you are so-called conscious or so-called natural. I mean, I don't even think that's anywhere near natural, because most of the people, a lot of people, I won't say most, a lot of people, especially, you know, women, will still wear their makeup. They'll still wear their high heels. They'll still wear, you know, it's never a complete transformation where their mind is also transformed and they're not ready to go outside into nature and get dirty. They don't want to get their hair dirty. I mean, you know, because even though it's, you know, it can stand the rain now, but it's not, you know, something that is changing their mind. And that's the main thing. And like you said, that's so important, too, to understand that when you go outside with a clear conscience and a clear, an open heart chakra, experiencing nature, experiencing things that may be dangerous in nature, or so-called dangerous, maybe just bees, for example. If you're afraid of bees, or you're, you know, have a preconceived notion about them, then they will, you know, possibly you will get stung. But if you're very open and not, you know, not having, your mind is made up that you are going to be one with everything in your environment, you're more or less likely to have a bad experience with anything in nature. So you're right.
It's all about respect,
and you create your own reality too. I mean, so everything that you think is going to happen will happen eventually. Or if you bring it about yourself, so you have to bring about good, positive energy all the time, and you can get the most good, positive energy by being one with nature and being out in that whole positive realm that we have right in front of us all the time. So, yeah, definitely. Awesome information. So what about in particular? So I know you know your herbs. Are there any African that you can say that are African herbs? They don't have to be, but some things that have, you know, different remedies that have like influenced you and made you just even more excited about helping people using herbal remedies. Is there anything that you would want to share with us about that?
Sure, no problem. But before I actually get into them, I'll have to break that down for you.
Okay.
It's just my theory, okay?
Uh-huh.
So, when you're speaking of African herbs, do they necessarily have to be of origin in Africa right now? Because if you think about it.
Right, I know.
You know, some of the herbs that we use on a regular, everyday basis that we commonly have in our cabinets or just grow wild in your yards.
Right.
You know, those herbs are of African descent as well.
Right, because they...
The process of our culture and our people, you know, migrating, and some of our people were already here.
Right.
So some of those herbs, you know, they were brought over to this land.
Mm-hmm.
So when we speak of African herbs, we have to also realize that, you know, we're using garlic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're using ginger.
Right.
You know, we're using herbs like that, that their original origin is from Africa. So when we speak of African herbs, we have to speak of all of the above because of, you know, the migration and how, you know, some of these herbs came to be of where
right.
we are right now.
Right. Aloe vera and all that, too.
African herbs. Yeah, aloe vera is another one. Cape
mm-hmm.
aloe.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the African herbs that I was going to bring up for you. Aloe vera.
Uh-huh.
It's an excellent herb that I love to use. You know, it's great laxative, which means that it works as an evacuant to where, you know, if you're constipated or something like that, you know, it helps to expel, you know, anything that may be clogging you up. Another African herb that I also like is the buchu. I love buchu because buchu is really beneficial with cleaning out your kidney and bladder. Okay, so if you have a kidney or bladder infection, buchu would be excellent with helping to treat those issues, along with the uvarasi. Uvarasi is good as well.
Mm-hmm.
As far as like helping with kidney and bladder and liver. Another African herb would be the dandelion.
Okay.
Again, because it's a really good bitter, you know, which helps with your skin.
Mm-hmm.
It helps with parasitic infections, digestion, cuts, bruises, all of the above. Chickweed is another one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I use it as a diuretic. You know, it's full of, like, potassium, iron, different vitamins and minerals. mm-hmm. you know, increase, help them to increase your appetite, thyroid issues, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I can go on with sarsaparilla. Sarsaparilla is another one because it's a great blood cleanser. Speaking on Ashken herbs, I like Uda, the Uda leaves. I love to put that in my food because it's very good with, all herbs that you put in your food is basically good for digestion.
Right.
And helping that cognitive.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that. I like the Uda peppers. I like the Ashken bird's eye peppers. So that's just a few of them that I can name just right off the top of my head.
Right. Mm-hmm.
To where I think that they're really helpful. Also, saw palmetto.
Okay.
Would be another one.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy that one.
Mm-hmm. I had two questions. Do you grow any of these? I know you said you're a gardener. Are you both a vegetable gardener and an herb gardener? Or do you have any that you grow yourself? Maybe not of that list, but any other herbs that you grow?
Yeah, I definitely grow.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely grow, fruits, vegetables. I have several fruit trees in my backyard. You have a vegetable garden.
Okay.
In my landscape, I have all the medicinal herbs, you know, that I might grow and use around the house, like Althea officinalis, which is marshmallow.
Mm-hmm.
I have marshmallow. I have some, different herbs, rosemary, sage.
Okay.
Yellow dock, stuff like that.
Right.
But my main thing is, if it's something that I can't grow, if it's something that I can't find if I can't order online, which I tend to stay away from, my main thing is I try to practice what I preach. So
right.
if I'm telling my students to go out and try to find your medicine, that's mainly what
right.
I enjoy doing.
Right.
Is actually going out and foraging. You know, what I do is wherever I am, you know, wherever I live, if I'm visiting, vacationing, or whatever, the first thing that I do is I go outside and I explore my environment.
Mm.
You know, and I call that finding my medicine kit, my first aid kit,
mm-hmm.
wherever I go.
Exactly.
You know, if I turn this corner over here, and I see Hercules Club, which
mm-hmm.
is prickly pear,
mm-hmm.
prickly pear tree, the prickly ash tree. And I know that if someone comes up with a toothache or if they need a pain reliever, I can go to this prickly pear tree.
Right.
This prickly ash tree is going to help me to release this. You know, where and then I turn the corner again, and I may see some milk thistle or some blessed thistle or some milkweed or
mm-hmm.
Dandelions or shepherd's purse, whatever I may see in that area.
Mm-hmm.
I can take a mental note to
mm-hmm.
where I may be able to find these just in case I need it. So that's one of the main things I do. As soon as I put my bags down, it's the first thing I do is try to go outside and find my medicine. Now, that's really important for all of our people to have is to bring back that skill of being able to identify and forge your own medicine instead of depending on the pharmacopoeias and letting them and keeping them in our pockets.
I know,
so
yeah.
Like the willow bark, the salicylic,
mm-hmm.
all of those salicylic trees, the salicylates. You know, willow, they have that main ingredient, the salicylic acid in them.
Mm.
You know, and that salicylic acid is the main ingredient that they use to make aspirin with. You know, and most of us, we grow those willow trees in our front yard.
Right.
And we have these pounding headaches, and we walk past this willow tree,
yep.
get into our cars, and go up to the pharmacy and buy some aspirin when you had it in your front yard the whole time.
Right.
You know, that's what I try to get people to understand and realize that we don't have to be so dependent on our modern society when
mm-hmm.
we have everything that's needed for us in our face, but all we have to do is just wake up a little bit and try to remember
mm-hmm.
everything that your ancestors and your elders have been trying to tell you for years.
Right.
You know, because they knew that was coming, you know, and if, I'm sorry, I'm just ranting. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Continue.
But yeah, that's what I try to get people to realize is the importance of being able to identify and you
and earth as your first aid kit. You know your medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that you won't have to be so dependent on what the doctors are telling you,
yes.
or what the pharmaceutical companies are providing for you, which we all, I don't know if we realize it or not, you know, out of 6,000 drugs that may be produced by the pharmaceutical companies, 4,800 of those drugs are of plant origin.
Yes.
Right? And that's something that we all should realize.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all they're doing is isolating these main ingredients that's within these plants.
Mm-hmm.
And they're chemically inducing them and turning them into synthetic medicine so that they can tax them and resell them back to us.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time, and if you think about it, some of those drugs that they're reprocessing, they may be the weeds that you pulled out your yard and put out on the side at the, in the dumpster.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they may have picked those up and totally reprocessed those weeds that you threw away and sell them right back to you when you had them the whole time in the first place.
Yep.
You know, so that's something that we should all think about, like this trickery that they're putting us under.
Right, and that's the thing.
So that's another thing that we also teach.
Most of the herbs that are medicinal are considered weeds, and the reason why they are is because the powers that be are putting into your mind that this is a weed versus this is medicine for you, and so kill it.
I think just like the dandelion. I'm sorry, and I think that term is totally disrespectful.
Yes,
to call our medicines weeds.
Right,
it's just like calling us the N-word.
I know.
You know, so it means it makes us feel like, you know, they're worthless. Mm-hmm. Why would we need these? Mm-hmm. These are only weeds.
So cut everything down.
If you think about plants and the human body, when you talk about plants, we're only talking about our direct descendants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are our ancestors as well. Not only just your grandmother and your grandfather,
mm-hmm.
but these plants that's living, you know, and growing, that's been growing for tens of millions of years.
Right.
You know, some of these plants that we're looking at, they're ancestors of these plants that's been growing for tens of millions of years.
Right. And they're plants, just like an apple tree is a plant, just like a lettuce plant is a plant, just like beets and garlic and anything else that you would grow as food is just as a plant, just like an herb is a plant, just like a so-called weed is a plant. So all of them, they should not be classified differently and cut down because somebody told somebody else that this is not good to have in your yard because it looks a certain way. Like, really, where does that idea even come from? We should let everything just grow. Stop cutting your yard. Stop medicating your yard with all these pesticides and herbicides and all and everything. And there's no need for that. I mean, just let it grow. Who says it has to look a certain way? That's all in your mind. And the earth needs to just grow as it should. And, you know, and the reason the powers that be have put that into your mind to, you know, to cut away the things that are going to be the best for you, especially with dandelion. Dandelion is number one weed, and the number one weed killer is from Monsanto. Roundup was created to kill the dandelion. You see all the information, you know, coming from people like you, Dr. Turtle, and me, and everyone else has been pushing dandelion so much, and that's one of my favorite herbs as herbalists. And people have, you know, over hundreds of thousands of years known that this plant is, you know, it has so many different medicinal value, and the people like Monsanto, these big companies understand that, and they want to control that. So just know that, y'all. It's just so many things that you know, if you just let things be, you won't have any problems. But I wanted to talk with you too real quick about there's so many good stuff you brought up, but one thing is what about the different ways? You brought up some really good examples of herbs. What about different ways of preparing herbs, like moringa, for example? Moringa is considered an African herb. But what about, you know, I do some research on moringa. It has so much nutritional value and so many different wonderful properties to it as well. But one thing that it does is it does have a, let's see. So women who are childbearing age and they want to get pregnant should not take moringa because it is, it can be dangerous for women who are pregnant. So what, you know, in African culture, or in certain areas in Africa, moringa is used very differently than what it is used for here. And so that's just one example, but do you have any other examples, or maybe we can talk more about moringa too, of how things are different, you know, culturally, and how we, you know, have, if you, when you start learning about herbs here, how that may be different when you start learning about more of a cultural aspect or cultural understanding of the herb itself. Does that make sense? So we know about the medicinal value, but how is it actually used when people are picking it up out of the ground and using it based on their cultural?
Oh, it's many ways. First, having to understand and having the knowledge of what you may be picking first,
mm-hmm.
you know, and also understanding the parts that could be used, because you can pick a herb or pick a plant from the ground. And but because of social media, you know, we're provided with so much information about these different herbs, but we don't really have a detailed understanding of how they work or
exactly.
how to use them.
Exactly.
Right. So as we're picking these herbs that we've heard about so much on social media, we also have to be aware of the different parts that we can use. Mm-hmm. Because on the same plant, the same single plant, one part of that plant could be poisonous, where the other part could be just harmless to you.
Right.
So we have to understand it. Like a tomato plant, you know, we can eat tomatoes, but the leaves are extremely toxic.
Mm-hmm.
The same with a potato plant,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that's something that we have to take into consideration. And once you understand the parts used, then we understand how to either infuse these herbs, use them as a decoction, make up concoctions, or use it as a compress, or use the leaves as a poultice,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, whatever you may be able to use them for. But usually, 9 times out of 10, you know, it's always good to preserve your herbs first. You know, after you pull them and harvest them, always ask for permission first. I want to put that, make that clear.
Mm-hmm.
Always ask for permission from that plant.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and if you have something else to give as an offering, if you have another seed off the plant that you're actually about to harvest, if it's about to seed, remove some of those seeds and put it back into that same hole where you forage that mother plant from,
mm-hmm.
so it can return and grow again.
Right.
You know, that's firsthand. That's just respect, you know, before we go any further. So after we do that, then we have to learn how to preserve these herbs. And the way we do that, you know, we tie them up in bundles using yarn, threads, or whatever you need,
mm-hmm.
and hang them up to dry upside down in a dry, cool, dark area, you know, for at least 2 weeks until that it's totally dried out. And what that does is it preserves the herbs and also it concentrates it, you know, to where, you know, you can store it and use it in the wintertime or in a certain season to where that plant doesn't grow in that season.
Mm-hmm.
You always have it to use.
Right.
So we always speak of that and also learn how to, again, use them as infusions for, like, making teas. And we have to understand the difference between how to process a root compared to a leaf,
mm-hmm.
right? And so
mm-hmm.
all roots, you know, we teach them that you have to boil the roots.
Right.
You know, because they're a little more solid, you know, more fibrous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the texture of them is really solid. So you would have to boil that down, you know, as good as you can. Sometimes it all depends on how strong you want your tonics, but you can boil them for 30 minutes. You can boil them for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on, you know, the type of medicine that you want to use, right? So we teach that, you know, you would boil the roots and you would steep the leaves. So you boil the water,
mm-hmm.
and after the water is boiled, then you place the leaves on the inside and steep them. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's one way as far as, like, going out harvesting and learn how to process.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking on the moringa that you were speaking of, the moringa, it's an excellent herb to use if you know how to use it,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's really powerful, you know.
Right.
And
that's
one
I mean.
Thing, again, going back to social media, you know,
mm-hmm.
we get hyped up on someone posting a single herb,
right.
but we don't really understand how that herb works.
Exactly.
You know, so first off, we should get as much information as possible about that plant before you use it,
mm-hmm.
because they're nothing to play with,
mm-hmm.
you know. And the reason why most pregnant women, if you're trying to get pregnant, you know, you can't use moringa. And if you are taking moringa on a regular, you can't use it on a daily basis because it's very tannic,
mm-hmm,
right? It has
mm-hmm.
high levels of tannins in there. And
mm-hmm.
high levels of tannins will make it very toxic, you know,
mm-hmm.
at end times.
To your liver,
kind of like
right.
how persimmons are, if you're familiar with a persimmon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the outer layer is really tannic when you bite into it, you know, to where it just chalks up your mouth and you can, like, feel the tingling going
right.
on sensation in your mouth, right?
Right.
So we have to be aware. And we have to understand the limits, the limitations, and also the dosages of how much of a certain herb that you can use in order for it to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because herbs that we use and we hear about them so much, we think we can just take them because they're still posted online right now.
I know.
It doesn't really work like that. You know, you can also harm yourself
exactly.
if you're not really cautious or being careful about what you're doing. You know, everything's in moderation. You know, and
mm-hmm.
and I'm telling you, the power of plants is nothing to play with.
Yes.
It's all about respect.
And that's why,
you know, if you don't have that respect, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just saying that I was talking about, or when I talk to people or clients, when they come to me, people come to me all the time, I'm sure they come to you the same way, and ask you, what can I take for this? What can I take for that? And I'm very, very cautious at telling them, here, just this wonderful herb here will work great for that, because you don't know how much they weigh, You'll know the severity of their issue. You don't know how old they are. You don't know their experience with herbs in the first place. You know, so I know a lot of people are going to capsules, which are a little bit different from what we're talking about. But with, definitely when you're making your own formulas and making your own plant medicine at home, it's very important to do it properly and to know, like you said, how to treat different parts of the plant, what parts to get. Because, you know, some places they'll sell you every part of the plant, even though they know that this part of the plant is much more potent than another. And so it's really good to understand, you know, talk with people and share, have them share information with you about what's going on versus just telling them, here, try X, Y, and Z and send them on their way. Well, no, that's just like telling them to try whatever drug and, you know, not knowing anything about that. So definitely, like you said, herbs are so powerful. If an herb can heal you, an herb can kill you. That's my motto. And there are herbs
all
that...
all at the same time.
Exactly, all at the same time. So... yes, it's very important. And one thing, I forgot to mention this when we were talking about the different pharmaceutical drugs that come from the herbs themselves. So they're taking the active ingredient from the herb. They find out, oh wow, saw palmetto has this, and we're going to just extract it and purify it and make it ourselves. One good example is etoposide. Etoposide is a drug that I used to work with in a lab, and it actually is used for different lymphomas, so B cancers, B cell cancers. So it's a very toxic, very strong herb for cancer, and that drug active ingredient came from the May apple plant. And so it's like, goodness, this plant can basically cure cancer. It has the ability to cure cancer, and we're not, you know, researching that, spending millions of dollars on researching that, or, you know, not even just going to the plant and planting it in large groves and using that for people that have lymphoma. It's so mind-blowing and crazy that white people have taken that to a whole other level, and it's really sickening to me. So anyway, kind of going back and forth with that topic, but yes, but back to your great information on how to prepare herbs. It's so important preparing herbs, and that's one big thing too that I teach in my small courses is how to prepare herbs. Because like you said, it's so easy to just get some information online or through social media, but then when you really get into your household and your home, it's like, oh my goodness, what is this? You know, how am I going to use this? Mm-hmm. And so definitely having that information is vital to get the best out of your herbs, get the most medicinal properties out of your herbs as well. So, and definitely not going to capsules and pills, because that's one of my things too, is not using so many capsules or over-the-counter type, even the herbs over-the-counter, because with that, there's sometimes the herbs are not as they say they are. There's been research that says a lot of the capsules over the counter are plants, like household plants or house plants, or they're just a bunch of corn mixed in or soy mixed in, and maybe a little tiny bit of the herb that you think you're buying from those capsules. So, you know,
that's
it's
true.
Always best to. Well, for me, I think it's always best to get the whole herb so you can see, so you can touch, so you can smell, so you can feel the herb, experience it, make a ritual out of making that herbal formula, making that tea, boiling the herbs, making the aroma fill the home. Like, that's all healing from step one. You know, the all the senses are picking up that herb and that energy of that herb when you're making it at home like that, versus just popping some pills. And they'll take you away from the idea of popping a pill for healing much easier if you're starting to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's good.
Good. So we have a few more minutes. If there's any questions in the chat room, that is open. So if you're in the chat room, welcome, and thank you for listening this evening. If you have any questions, we'll take those right now. So I'll let you have a minute or so to write in some more questions. Dr. Turtle, before we round up, oh yes, and the phone line as well. So if you're on, if you are listening on the phone line, okay, you can press *6.
No.
Oh, we'll just unmute. Okay. We're going to unmute you. And so if you have a question, go ahead and just start speaking. Okay. And we will get you on here to ask a question to Dr. Turtle, who has been providing some wonderful information this evening.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Is everybody on the air? Does anyone have a question for Dr. Turtle or a comment? Don't be shy. Before we wrap up here, go ahead and ask your questions if you have some. Okay, let's see. 919 area code. Do you have any questions?
I have a question.
Okay. What's your area code?
Yes.
512.
Oh, okay. That's 512. Go ahead.
My name is Kim. I'm in Austin, Texas. I live in an apartment.
Hey,
hi.
Welcome.
And I wanted to start an above-ground herbal garden. And mm-hmm. I have a small patio, and I have some space inside my apartment. I don't know where to start. It gets super hot here in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I tried it about a year and a half ago. I started with some thyme and some cayenne peppers, and the heat just destroyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just discouraging. And I would like to know some herbal-friendly starter suggestions that I could maybe start with three easy ones and then go from there.
Mm, great question.
Yeah, that was a good question. Fortunate enough for you, I'm in Texas, too. I live in Dallas, so I understand the heat as far as, like, growing. But if you're growing above-ground gardens, or if you've grown in pots, you know, it's very imperative that you keep water in those pots, you know, because they're not in the soil themselves. They're not in the earth themselves. And the earth, it holds moisture. So you can probably cut back on water as much as you would if they were in pots. But as soon as, on those hot summer days, if you put water in one of your pots, within the next couple of hours, it'll be dried out, you know, in 100-degree temperature. So I would recommend water, if you're growing in pots or above ground, just make sure that you thoroughly just soak your pots or your above ground garden down real good early in the morning time.
Mm-hmm.
And then do the same thing again in the evening time, right before the sun goes down or as the sun is going down at sunset. And the reason why you want to do it then is because it starts to cool down. All of the plants that's around your garden, they're going through a mutation process at nighttime to where, you know, they start, like, evaporating moisture from the leaves, and it creates, like, a dew. So it's going to help to retain moisture more in the pots and on your aerial garden. So I would recommend that, and then it'll cut back on your plants wilting. And the plants that you name, like the thyme, is a very good starter because it seems to be real hardy. I grow thyme, too. A sage, just a common sage will be really good. And then sage, like, you can use that for everything. Rosemary, that's a great perennial. Like, it's real hardy. It's not going to go anywhere. You know, it can sustain the heat. Beginner herbs like that. You said name three, right? Was that good enough?
Yes, thank you.
But, yeah, those three I would recommend starting with. And if you can, like your cayenne peppers, if you're growing peppers, if you're growing tomatoes in pots, just make sure that you keep a lot of moisture in those pots. You're not going to kill them, especially like if it's extremely hot and sunny out, because, like I say, during the day they go through a transpiration, but at night they go through a mutation process, and all that water will be retained if you start watering your plants as soon as the sun goes down.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
Great advice. Wonderful. Do we have any other questions? Let's see. We got 203 area code. Do you have any questions?
Yes, I had typed in the chat room. My name is Monique Orsarnerly. And Dr. Turtle, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with us this evening. I wanted to find out when your website, do you have an anticipated date of when that will be back up and running to get information on the certifications and classes?
That's a good question, huh, Jennifer?
Yeah. Yes.
It should be coming up pretty soon, right?
Yes. Very soon.
Yeah, it's definitely under construction. We had our old website for so long, it was just outdated, so we're just trying to come up with something new. And just so happened, Sister Jennifer here is actually helping us to build our website, so that's why I was kind of picking her a little bit.
Right, that's why we're laughing.
It's in the work, and it's on the way.
Yes, it's
okay,
yes.
Because it's all my to-do list as a birth worker, so
wonderful.
I am hoping to get in your certification class so I can utilize it for myself and my clients.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can definitely follow us or friend us on Facebook at Indigenous Remedies. We're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, and on Facebook, you can definitely get in contact with us as well.
Mm-hmm.
While our website is under construction, and you can definitely go ahead and get started as far as like signing up for the certification course through Facebook. We can get you going that way.
Yep.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep, wonderful. Yeah, so that goes for anybody. They're interested in the certification. Okay. Yes, hi, Ms. Lenita.
Yeah, this is Lenita. I'd like to ask Dr. Turtle about landscaping with medicinal herbs. How do you, because you don't want to weed, or I know that's a negative word, but how do you keep the herbs that you don't want from growing into the medicinal herbs that you do want?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is this one of our students, Lenita, Sister Lenita?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on?
Hi.
great question, sister. If you're growing medicinal herbs in your landscape, it's not going to be the prettiest sight,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they're gonna do what they're gonna do. Mm-hmm. And so, if you can get quite a few in that landscape, it's gonna look like, you know, that area. Maybe you want to grow those certain herbs in a certain part to where it's not really visible. So like mm-hmm. helping, you know, people coming up, but it's not going to be a pretty sight. You just have to really let them do what they're going to do. Unless, you know, you go ahead and try to space them out and try to make them look like something. But usually if you have a medicinal herb garden, it's not going to look just all, manicured.
That's so true.
And, you know, so amazing. It's going to look like no one lives in your house.
Right.
It's like the weed is choking out the good herbs that I want to grow, and I don't want to kill all of the goat weed, but mm-hmm. I want less of it.
Yeah, I would just cut it back.
The way that you can control it is just continue harvesting it
mm-hmm.
and drying it out.
Yeah.
Because goat weed is a great aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
So it helps with erectile dysfunction. You know, so that's something that you want to keep, and you want to keep an abundance of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you can pass it along for, you know, our elders or whatever, you know. So that's one way you can control it is by just go ahead clipping it back and drying it out
mm-hmm.
and putting it in a container or somewhere and saving it.
Right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. Right. Great to talk to you.
All right. We'll take, two more questions? I know you have to run, Dr. Turtle, so we won't keep you too long. You have a interesting and exciting evening tonight with Queen Afua, so I'm jealous, and but I know you're going to have a wonderful time.
I'm sitting outside the venue.
Yes. Right, okay, we're going to get you in there. So anyone else have any questions? Sorry, getting a little bit of feedback there. Well, we're going to let you go, Dr. Turtle. We appreciate you being on this evening. Yes, thank you so much. Go ahead.
As you can tell, I get really excited when it comes to talking about plant medicine.
I know.
You know, you have to become the earth that you walk on, and that's one of our slogans that we use on a regular, and we really stand behind it. You have to become the earth that you walk on.
And that's our show for this evening. Thank you all so much for listening. Stay tuned next week. We're going to continue this conversation a little bit. We're going to be talking with Miss Martina, and we're going to discuss wildcrafting and wildcrafting organic herbs. So hope to see you next week. Peace.
Even if you're sitting in your old rocking chair, style you want, listen me say lyrics you for hear. This is one thing I say you must understand. Jah gave the herbs for the use of man, woman and children plus the animal. If you give me temple, give me inspiration. Herb, it's a little nation. I say herb, it's a little nation. No, I mean no one not get just like a no ampicillin. No, not Thailand nor no penicillin. Yes. All me need is herbal healing. Fi take care of me body and fi tone up me skin. All of here I want me drinking early morning with molasses and listen before the start. With a little bit of golden seal after me. Ever ready, goody, just natural and real. Herb, ha ha, it's a deal.